the King immortal, the invisible God, the only wise God. We give you all the glory, God, because there is none like you. We ascribe all greatness to you, O God. Accept our thanks, accept our praises in Jesus' name. As we go into your word, we ask, Holy Spirit, that you speak to us. The nugget that you have for each and every man, every woman, every child, we receive in Jesus' name, that none of us will live here the same, but we receive a definite word from you in the mighty name of Jesus. Blessed be your name, O God, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Can we open our Bibles to 2 Samuel? 2 Samuel chapter 7. 2 Samuel chapter 7. Some will say 2 Samuel chapter 7. We're going to read the first 13 verses. The second book of Samuel chapter 7. It says, "Now it came to pass, when the king was dwelling in his house, and the Lord had given him rest from all his enemies all around, that the king said to Nathan the prophet, 'See now, I dwell in a house of cedar, but the ark of God dwells inside tent curtains.' Then Nathan said to the king, 'Go, do all that is in your heart, for the Lord is with you.' But it happened that night that the word of the Lord came to Nathan, saying, 'Go and tell my servant David, thus says the Lord, would you build a house for me to dwell in? For I have not dwelt in a house since the time that I brought the children of Israel up from Egypt, even to this day. But I've moved about in a tent and in a tabernacle. Wherever I have moved about with all the children of Israel, have I ever spoken a word to anyone from the tribes of Israel, whom I commanded to shepherd my people Israel, saying, why have you not built me a house of cedar? Now, therefore, thus shall you say to my servant David, thus says the Lord of hosts, I took you from the sheepfold, from following the sheep, to be ruler over my people, over Israel, and I have been with you wherever you've gone, and I've cut off all your enemies from before you, and I've made you a great name, like the name of the great men who are on the earth. Moreover, I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and will plant them, that they may dwell in a place of their own, and move no more. Nor shall the sons of wickedness oppress them any more, as previously. Since the time that I commanded the judges to be over my people Israel, and have caused you to rest from your enemies, also the Lord tells you that it will make you a house. When your days are fulfilled and you rest with your fathers, I will set up your seed after you, who will come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever." May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Amen. Praise God. You know, this, for the past month, we've been looking at the theme, divine completeness. And we've said a lot about how it is that we're complete in Christ Jesus. We've talked about how, you know, the Godhead is complete. So we serve a complete God. And we ourselves, we need to be complete. The Bible says that we are complete in him. And that's Colossians 3:17. We've looked at it extensively. But one thing that we've said about completeness is also that it has to do with identity. Do we remember saying that? That, you think about it this way. If you don't really know yourself, how can you find fulfillment? How can you be complete? If you don't know who God has called you to be, if you don't know who you are, how can you really be complete? You can't. So in divine completeness, in being complete in Christ, we need to know who we are. Praise the Lord. I'm sure you'll be glad to know that we ask God to take control. For a few weeks, I have been preparing the message, you know, the sermon that I was going to share. And how many people, you want to buy a car, you want to buy something, and all of a sudden you start noticing that thing everywhere, you know? I remember when we wanted to get our current car. It's a Renault Scenic. Prior to looking for cars, I'd never heard of it. And we decided, okay, let's buy this Scenic. And all of a sudden, it was as if everybody has that car. So does anyone know what I'm talking about? No, all of a sudden, there's a shoe or a bag you like, and all of a sudden, you start noticing everybody's carrying a Burberry bag. Or there's a fantastic, I'm not sure, it's a burgundy bag in front. And all of a sudden, you notice everybody is carrying it. Praise the Lord. This past week, we went to view a building for the church. And we got there, and you know, we thought, oh, fantastic building and everything. We took an architect there, and he said it's not fit for purpose. And it was a bit disheartening. But the very next day, we saw another building that looked like, you know, this is God just, he's done the finished work. We just need to get it and move in. And there's some people in the house that are really excited right now. And it just seems as everything is about building, 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 building. And I believe that the Holy Spirit just wanted me to share on this passage, 2 Samuel chapter 7. There are about three, 4 points from that passage that I find very interesting that I want to share with us this morning. For one of a title, A Building for God. So the sermon, A Building for God. Now, if you look at verse 1 of that 2 Samuel, it says, it came to pass when the king was dwelling in his house and the Lord had given him rest from all his enemies all around. And I asked myself, what do we do when God gives us rest? What do we do when God gives us rest? In the case of David, you know, David took over from Saul as king, fought many battles, and at a point in time, he had rest from all the enemies. And he had rest and decided, okay, I want to build a house for God. Some of us, we need to ask ourselves, what do we do when we're at peace? You know, when things are challenging, we know how to cry to God. We now to go to God and, you know, I'm not going to let you go unless you bless me. And we really grab hold of God. But when God blesses us and when he gives us rest, what do we do? Do we remember God? David decided, I'm going to build a house. That was his desire. I want to build a house for my God. And what did he do? He spoke to the prophet Nathan. You know, I want to build a house. The second thing. So, what do we do when God blesses us, when he gives us rest? What decisions do we make? Do we make decisions for God? Do we go out of our way for God, or do we forget God? Do we forget the God that has given us rest, that has blessed us? Or do we stick by him? But there's also something very interesting in what Nathan did. So this man that pretty much loved God so much, wanted to do something for him, went to God, went to his father in the Lord, the prophet, and he said, you know what? Go ahead. Verse 3, Nathan said to the king, go, do all that is in your heart, for the Lord is with you. And I've always looked at this verse as a cautionary note. The prophet said, go, do everything in your heart. Why? because the Lord is with you. What is the cautionary note? What's the caution there? The fact that we have a desire to do good does not mean that is what God wants of us. The fact that we have that conviction that this, you know, I'm going to preach from Monday to Friday, 7 a.m. to 12 midnight every day. Is that what God wants for you? Maybe not. It's important to know what God wants from you. So that a desire to do good does not mean it is God. David had a desire. Nathan said, go, do what is in your heart, because God is with you. But the cautionary note there is not so much about what David wanted to do, but what the response of the prophet. The prophet too saw that it seemed good. It seems like a good thing to do, so go ahead. But did God see it as a good thing? No, because that wasn't God's plan. After the prophet had said, you know, go and do what you need to do, God said, you know what, go back. Go back to David, because this is not the plan I have in stock. He says, go and tell my servant David, thus says the Lord, would you build me a house for me to dwell in? Are you going to build a house for me to dwell in? So that truly God was with David. But the fact that God is with you does not mean he agrees with the decisions you're taking. Praise the Lord. You know, Proverbs 16:25 says there's a way that seems right to man, but the end thereof is the way of death. So the fact that God is with you doesn't necessarily mean that is what God wants for you. It is important for us to seek God's faith at every point in time, to know what he would have us do. Yes, thank God for experience. Thank God for what God did with us last year and what he did with us 10 years ago. But we should be careful not to restrict God, not to box him, not to expect that because he did it this way, because he did it for Ikana this way last year, and he did it for Lemmy 2 years ago, obviously he's going to do it for me the same way. Let's cultivate that habit of seeking God's face to find out what he wants of us per time. The Lord will help us in Jesus' name. There's a way that seems right, but the end could be a way of death. Let us seek the Holy Spirit's face to know what he would have us do. In verse 5, you know, that's when the Lord said, that, would you build a house for me to dwell in? See, God recognizes David's sincere intentions and promises to bless him. If we read from verses 9 to 11. So, David wants to build a house. God is saying, no, that's not it. But you have a right heart. So I will continue to bless you. But that house you want to build, you're not the one that's going to build it. Your son, who is Solomon, will build the house. Praise the Lord. And it says that Solomon will build a house in his name, in God's name. Buildings, houses, building for God, having the right intentions. But then we should ask ourselves, who's the building for? David wanted to build a house for God. God says, can you build a house for me to dwell in? But then he now says, Solomon, your son, will build a house in my name. So the building would have God's name. But God is saying, I don't dwell in buildings. So who are the physical buildings meant for? See, God doesn't need a physical building to live in. Rather, as Paul said, our bodies are the temples of the living God. Praise the Lord. You can see that in 1 Corinthians 3:16. 1 Corinthians 3:16. I used to think I was faster, but... It says, do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? You're the temple of God and the Spirit of God dwells in you. So God doesn't dwell in the physical building. God dwells in you as a person. His Spirit dwells in you as a person. Jesus Christ is in you as a person. Whilst it's important to have a building, it is very important, and we'll see why it's important. It is important to have a physical building. The Bible says we shouldn't forsake the gathering of the brethren. More importantly, is you as an individual. You're the priority with God. Your body, your temple. Your body is your temple, and that is where God dwells. So you need to keep it right. Praise the Lord. When we were praying, my sister mentioned Galatians 6:17. Was it? Does anyone know what's in Galatians 6:17? I remember saying we have to memorize it. From the prayer weekend. From henceforth, let no man trouble me. Why? Because I bear my body the mark of the Lord Jesus Christ. We've been branded. We've been branded for God. We've been branded for Jesus Christ. That is who we are as Christians. Everywhere we go, we should show that mark. But it's not just bearing the mark. It's also realizing that he dwells in us. So not just the outward expression, but the inner dwelling. So Christ is in us. He lives in us. God is in us. The Spirit of God resides in us, which is why we need to take care of ourselves as individuals. We need to watch what we do. We need to move to Christian maturity. We need to grow in grace, which we talked about on Wednesday at Bible study. That, you know, growing in grace, developing ourselves, growing as Christians in line with the will of the Lord. We do that individually. But collectively, the Bible says we should not forsake the gathering of one another, of believers. We come together to pray. We come together to fellowship. Why do we bother for a place of worship? Why do we bother for a physical building? Even though we're saying that, it's not the most important thing. God doesn't dwell in that building. He's not going to reside in the building. He resides in us. So why is a physical building important? Or why does it matter? As I was asking myself that question, you know, the Lord directed me to his response to Solomon. You know, David wanted to build a house. God said, you're not going to build a place for my name. Your son would do it. So Solomon built. And Solomon said a prayer. Can we go to 2 Chronicles? 2 Chronicles chapter 7. 2 Chronicles chapter 7. I'll read from verse 12. So Solomon had built a temple to God. It was dedicated. He had offered a prayer. So God decided to speak to him. It says, verse 12, then the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said to him, I have heard your prayer and I've chosen this place for myself as a house of sacrifice. So the temple that was built by Solomon, God said, I've chosen this place as a house of sacrifice. When I shut up heaven and there's no rain, or command locusts to devour the land, or send pestilence among my people, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and heal their land. Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to prayer made in this place. For I have chosen and sanctified this house, that my name may be there forever, and my eyes and my heart will be there perpetually. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. A few things struck me from that passage. So God doesn't dwell in the temple, but he wants a place dedicated to him, set apart for him, where his name is, where, you know, a place of sacrifice, a place of refuge, where people can come without exception, a set apart, dedicated place. Praise the Lord. And he was promising that, you know, that place, if you come there, if you pray, I will hear from heaven. We've heard so many sermons on 2 Chronicles 7:14. We're not going to preach a sermon on that today. But, you know, it's a wonderful thing. But he said that, you know, my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to prayer made in this place. And I believe that it's important to have a place of worship that is, you know, that is exclusive. You know, where it is all about, it's synonymous with God and God alone. You go to some, God will help us all. You go to some church buildings and, you know, the previous day, you don't even want to imagine what went on in some rented, you know, talk about rented auditoriums. You don't even want to imagine what went on the previous day. And then, you know, the church has to come the following morning, they clean up, carry all manners of trash and rubbish, and they have to pray and sanctify every time they meet. They have to sanctify afresh and ask the Holy Spirit to cleanse and pack all the junk and make it fit for use. Praise the Lord. God, you know, a place that is solely for God, that is synonymous with God and God alone, a place that people, you know, a house of refuge, a place of sacrifice, that anybody knows that, hey, God is in that place. If we go there, whatever problems we have, whatever challenges, whatever issues, we can take it to God. He's there, he hears prayers, he answers prayers, he will sort it out. A perpetual place where we can worship, where we can sacrifice to God unhindered. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I believe that is why physical buildings are significant. My prayer is that God's perfect will be done. We've been praying and we'll continue to pray for our own building. Dable led us in a prayer last week. We prayed for a building. At that point in time, we hadn't seen anything. We had seen. But even the one we saw turned out not to be it. We're believing in God for another one. Can you please just rise up with me and let's just say a word of prayer? We're saying that we're the temple of God as is building, we as individuals are important to God.